They say plants like music.
Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This episode of the Mosaic Life podcast is brought to you by 2237 Designs. You've heard me talk about it before, whether you're a business owner, entrepreneur, side hustler, or just somebody working internally on your company's web presence. Managing your online presence should be stupid, simple, not just stupid. 2237 Designs offers affordable solutions to getting things done online when you need them, not on some agency's terms. 2237 Designs offers web design and website maintenance, hosting, domain name management, online reputation management, and email support. And getting started is easy, and it's just a text message away. Text 380-201-3300. Again, that's 380-201-3300. That's the new Columbus area code for those not in the know. And let me know you heard about 2237 Designs on the pod. Yes, as a reminder, this is my company. And I, text me, and I will hook you up with a free year of website hosting when you hire 2237 Designs for your web needs. Again, that's 380-201-3300. And just let me know you heard about us. And I'll take care of you. Treat your business to its very own web concierge. Hello, friends. Ernie and I are back with another conversation today. And as we get going, I just want to shout out a couple of reminders. You can find us on Instagram at One Mosaic Life. And of course, if you want to email us, it's onemosaiclife@gmail.com. Ernie and I are also, we have another live meditation class coming up in April, and I should know that date. It's April 16th. That's a Thursday, starting at 6:30 p.m. It's at Equivita Yoga Studio in Grandview Heights, Ohio. Really excited about this. It's a little bit bigger than our previous one, and I know Ernie's got some great meditation practices to demonstrate while we're there. So if you'd like to learn more, check the show notes. We'll have a link to the Eventbrite event page, and then you can register from there. This episode, Ernie and I, it's a little bit shorter conversation. Ernie and I sat down to do some testing when it comes to remote recordings, and so you'll notice his audio is a little bit better than it was last time. Did some magic on the recording process. We didn't really know what we were getting into, but I was currently reading, actually still am reading. It's a short book, but it's very thick, if that makes any sort of sense. It's called Determinism and Free Will, or Versus Free Will. I don't know. I don't remember. But determinism is this really interesting idea that free will isn't as free as we think about it on the surface. If you think about the last decision that you made, and you think about all the variables that went into making that decision, hindsight being 2020, would you be able to predict which decision you were going to make? That's the general idea behind determinism, and we really get in depth as deep as we can, given our knowledge of it within this conversation. And we talk a lot about our decisions in the past and what led to those. So I'm by no means an expert. I've read 90 pages and like 130 page book about it, but it's a very interesting topic and one that I would keep an open mind about, because this does not delve into religion. This is just simply, are we capable of actually making free choice, or does everything that has led up to our lives at this certain point predict what choices are going to be made? Check it out. Just give it a listen. It's a short episode, and we really have a good time talking about it. So we've got a few great interviews coming up. So please, please go ahead and subscribe. If you are not already subscribed, you can visit our website, onemosaic.life. And of course, it would be amazing if you would take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice, because that helps others find out about us. So without further ramblings on, I present to you Ernie and me. This is, yeah, it's Ernie and me. Welcome to the Mosaic Life Podcast.
Life is an art. Every moment a picture painted in time. The color, texture, lighting, all context. The Mosaic Life vision is to cast a warm glow on your masterpiece, highlighting the struggle while showcasing the culmination of years of hard work.
Join us for guided meditations, interviews with authors and leaders, and engaging conversation as we explore the depths of our consciousness.
But do the welcome.
Oh, welcome to the Mosaic Life Podcast. How's it going, Ernie?
It's going well. I am
Mr. Welsh.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Excited. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, we've known you for a couple years now. And in your email address, like Ernie J. Welsh. I just didn't, like, is your first name like actually start with a J and like you're using that? Like, explain for the people. Explain for me.
Explain for the people.
What the fuck your name is.
What's yeah,
your
name? My name is James. James. Back in my high school days, it was James when I was in Spanish class. No, I don't think that was the truth. I think I chose I chose something much stranger, like Raul, I think is what it was. But James is my first name. And I've always gone by Ernie. I was named after one of my dad's best friends who passed away very young. And he ended up, 10 years later, naming me after him. So pretty cool name when you consider that. I've always kind of thought it was strange because the first thing with Ernie is... people relate it to Sesame Street, and as a kid you're just like, I'm done hearing that damn joke, dude. But it's also memorable, and then lately the funny thing is my first name's James, and as people hear that, I've heard multiple people say, I wish you would go by James. I'm just like,
you'd be a different person to me.
It'd be strange, and I know that's unfortunately, like, people might their own cognitive bias, you know, of the name Ernie versus the name James, it would probably have more class or something, but I'm just like, I'm not doing that now. Like, almost 30 years old.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was just listening to an Aubrey Marcus podcast. I've actually like never really listened to him before. I like him a lot. I respect
him. Awesome.
He is. And he was actually, I think I listened to this particular episode because he does like an Aubrey Marcus podcast books series.
Yeah.
And I listened to the one where he read an excerpt of Island by Aldous Huxley. I've got a love-hate relationship with Huxley, and I've talked a little bit about it on our Instagram feed before, which is at One Mosaic Life. But he, after he read the excerpt, he talked a little bit about, and I can't remember, I don't remember the theory or notion that he was mentioning, but, you know, once, you know, when, as kids grow up, they see birds. They see birds in the sky, but when they learn, you know, a certain bird is an eagle, they stop seeing a bird, they see an eagle. And he also talked about, you know, having that as somebody's name. You see somebody for who they are, but once you learn their name, then they are no longer that person. They are the name. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk a little bit about, you know, what you would be with James as your first name as opposed to Ernie, it's silly to me, but it makes sense. Like, you are you. You are the thoughts you have, the ambitions, your desires. You are not a name. And I think a lot of people fail to realize that we go deeper than beyond, you know, what's written on a piece of paper.
Yeah, there's so much that any person, like all these post-it notes that we have for people, and you hear like, oh, Trey's coming tonight. And then there's an assumption, like a, what do the people call it? An avatar.
Yeah.
That is built within our minds about each person. And that's why I don't, you know, well, I'll say this. The identity, the ego, right? Whatever I identify as me anyways, like I'm not even me. I'm not even Ernie, really, in the grand scheme of things. Ernie is a compilation of experiences and memories and beliefs that I now hold that guide my life. But really, I'm just consciousness at the bottom of it. Like, I'm awareness. I'm aware. I can see. I can feel. I can experience. And then on top of that is a layer of layers and layers and layers of identity, and a name that kind of encapsulates that all for myself and for other people. But that's kind of like the reason I just don't care about the conversation of, oh, it would be more professional if you went by James, or it would be a better impression. I don't know why people say it, but it's all made up anyways.
Like, it is.
It's all made up.
It is. I agree with you. And it's a silly perception to think of, you know, oh, James and I are recording a podcast today. And I just, I don't know. It's a mental hurdle for some reason. And I don't know. I can't tell you why.
Funny story. I did decide at 18 to rebrand myself as James, and I got a job at a calling center. And I was James. Like, I never said I go by Ernie. You know, they always ask you in class, they always ask you at the job, or you just mention it, oh, I go by Ernie. And so it was just like, I'm going to go by James. I don't like this Ernie guy. And and I would be sitting at work, and I just remember my manager, like, for I don't know how long before I tuned in finally, James. James. I was like, oh, shit, that's me. I forgot. Hey, right. What's up? It's like, they didn't even reference it. So, yeah.
I along those lines, I remember the first time I went to Vegas. It was when I was in college. It was for spring break. And, you know, the first time anybody goes to Vegas, they build this idea up in their mind that you're going to be whoever you want to be. And, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And so my college roommate and I, we had this weird relationship where, if you've ever seen or read Fight Club, you've got Tyler Durden, and then you've got the narrator, and then Tyler is equal to Brad Pitt versus what the hell's his name?
It doesn't matter. It'll be in the show
Norton,
notes.
Ed Norton. Yeah. And so we got this weird thing where I was always capable of talking Keith, my buddy, into doing things. You know, good ideas, bad ideas, it didn't really matter. It was, so I was his Tyler I was the Tyler to his narrator. And so I went to Vegas, you know, with this idea, oh, I'm going to be Tyler. I'm going to do all this, you know, crazy shit. And you can brand yourself however you want, but internally you still, it was at least difficult for me to think of myself as somebody who would be construed as a Tyler. I was still just Trey inside. And so, yeah, I mean, it really does go much deeper than a name. And even, you know, somebody calling you James, when you told them to, it's a mental click that it doesn't happen instantly.
You know, I had a different experience from, like, when I travel, I feel the most free because I don't feel constricted to the identity that I have put up around myself in my home, in my hometown,
right?
You know, in my group of friends, in my family. I almost have, you know, we kind of grow up in a certain mold, and then we step out, or at least this was my experience. I grew up in a certain mold, and then I step out into the world, and I realize there are other molds, and then at some point I realize, oh, I can actually choose from which mold I want to act or be in the world. And for me, like, going to Vegas, I didn't go to Vegas, but I went to Virginia and lived there for 9 months. And I also traveled a couple times in college to Costa Rica, to Paris, some other places. And when I was even just at an airport, or even, you know, just being out alone on the other side of the city or state, I felt free from that, what felt like restrictive mold of who I was supposed to be around my people, who I typically am, and nobody really saw me as a certain way or certain person, and so I was freed up to just be whatever felt right. I don't know. I just thought I'd share that because it, I guess it just depends on where we are, what we're experiencing, and what our intention is. And
interesting question, you know, when you were here, I guess, and when you were, you know, not gone for time, you know, that mold that you feel like you're in, is that a mold that you feel other people are holding you or, you know, keeping you in, or do you feel like you're keeping it in yourself?
Well, yeah, I think it happens both ways. You know, when we're just imagine being in your friends group from, you know, high school or college or something,
right.
and then somebody cracks a joke and everyone's supposed to laugh at it because that's like, it's the feeling in the room. But it's like, if you were to, you know, they kind of give you a look like you're acting strange, like something's different about right. you. You know what I mean? If you're just trying to like portray something different, or I don't know, that's maybe a poor example.
I mean, it's a type of conformity is what it is.
You know, sometimes we expect, I mean, the post-it note, the avatar of other yeah. people, we expect that, and we a lot of times act in the way that is suitable to that avatar, you know, that we kind of, based upon what we've experienced of them, we modify our interactions to go in within that box or whatever. And then also we have our own beliefs. I mean, entirely, it's all in the end, it's not other people doing it, but we can be susceptible. I believe I've been susceptible, and I am at times susceptible to the way other people bring it to me or show up or the experience of other people that I have that provokes that mold or whatever. But right. in the end, it's all self-belief, identity, and something that we can choose to conform, like you said, and or not to. That's what I think. I guess, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I agree with you, but I do want to ask, you know, when you showed up for the first time at the Dublin Leadership Group in which we met, how were you showing up that day? Were you showing up in a way that you've never shown up before because this is a new opportunity with a new group of people? Or was this, you know, a brand, if you will, that you had been trying to build for yourself and you were looking for, and this is a fairly natural segue, you were looking for people to spend time around so you could become the average of, you know, those people who you hopefully were looking to respect and be respected.
So was I showing up naturally or showing up as a brand? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. When were you? Yes. Yeah. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the idea of it being a brand. Like, when I want to change who I'm being in the world, I don't know when I was showing up to that, what I was showing up as. I can imagine it was kind of, like I showed up to many things and tend to show up to some things as trying to be something and to be validated by the experience that I am that something.
Right.
You know, to be quite
that makes
honest.
Sense. Yeah.
You know, I don't, it's not like I want to be a brand. It's just, I want to be a good person. I want to come from compassion and love, but in the end, my identity, my ego wants to be validated sometimes, and that gets in the way of everything, or can get in the way of things.
Right.
So showing up naturally is where I'm coming to, but probably not so much 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm curious. I was curious about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I did, I think I mentioned this to you in text message, but I sat down with Erin, who put together that group all those years ago, and she also hosts the Confident Woman podcast, and got to catch up with her. She's awesome. I really missed having those conversations with her, and it was a great time. We sat down for coffee, and 2 hours flew by.
Yeah. Rachel Brooks is her co-host, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So check that out if you're listening and interested in that. They definitely have an incredible podcast, two women who have really been putting in the work to care more for themselves, for the people around them, and to create what they want in their world. She's definitely an incredible woman. We're hoping to collaborate in the future.
Actually meeting with Rachel next week about that and some other stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I want to steer back here just another for a quick second. So right now I'm reading Determinism or Free Will, which I've had on my shelf for a long time. It's not even a long book. It's just it's a very flighty book. I mean, it's you know, you get into it and you realize right away, okay, this is older type of English. I mean, it was written 100 years ago. But the philosophy behind it is very interesting, not something I'd really thought about before. And I have a very, very layman's understanding of what it is. The concept is, I mean, you think about free will. You think about, oh, you know, I've got a choice. I can do this. I can do this. I can do whatever the hell I want. You know, that's the generally accepted, you know, idea of how we as humans or any sentient being operates. But the idea of determinism isn't necessarily preordained fate. It's thinking about it this way. We know for a fact that the sun is going to go down tonight and it's going to come back up tomorrow, barring some catastrophic incident. It's just there's science behind it. You know, what over the billions of years that it's been in existence, you know, it has gotten to a place where it's predictable. We know what's going to happen. And so the idea is, if we had the capability of calculating all the variables in our lives, and you think about our infinite, or not our infinite, but our long history as ourselves and humans, if we ran that through an algorithm, we could essentially determine what we would do next, what I would say next based on all my past experiences, what I would do, where I would go. It's a very, very interesting philosophy that I was not familiar with prior to that. And I wanted to bring it up just to hear your thoughts, Ernie, because I'm sure you have a deep take on it. I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
It's very interesting because from a scientific standpoint, you know, we can with a fair amount of margin for error predict, you know, the weather. We know when certain things in life are going to happen because we have the algorithms, we have data, historical data built up on, you know, what has happened in the past, and it's able to predict what's going to happen in the future. And because the variables in our lives are so vast and like insanely huge numbers, I think that any time in our lifetime we'll be able to predict, you know, certain elements of our life is probably not realistic. But there is something to it that, knowing who I am, if I were to be given two choices, anybody who knows me can probably predict, you know, which one I'm going to go for. If I want to go look at the stars, or if I want to go to a club, people who know me are going to be able to say, oh, he wants to go look at the stars. It's on a very dumbed down basis. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, this is really a really cool place to go with the whole topic of name.
And yeah.
Like moving into this, it's almost perfect. Did you plan that?
I did not. No, I'm on point today. I'm on my podcast game.
Man, I'm with it, you know. People who know who I am, that statement really resonated. I believe, yeah, if a person has a strong identity.
And I want to be clear. I'm not talking about, like I said, it's not preordained. I'm not talking about a higher power. I'm talking about, you know, here is the data that we have on our lives. And, you know, here is, you know, what is coming up in the future. And again, my understanding is not nearly strong enough in this to be able to have a really, really super intelligent conversation. But the idea is that, you know, it can be determined, again, determinism, what are the outcome of certain scenarios will be based on who we are and what we've been through in the past.
Yeah. You know, and that's the fundamental, honestly, dude, I think we're talking about the fundamental challenge of transformation. When a person wants to do something different, but they constantly reference the data of what they've done in their past.
Right.
And then attaching to that data, okay, so every time this has happened, I've done this, you know, I could have zagged, but I zigged, and I've always zigged, and I'm always going to be the person who zigs. That's just, you know, like when we get caught up in the things that we've done being who we are, then we repeat that over and over and over again.
Right.
And it's all in our name. It's all in what we believe about ourselves and what we believe about the world and what we believe about other people. And when it comes down to it, if we want to change, then we have to cut through those beliefs. I guess what I'll say is I didn't realize this until I had been coached by somebody who was great at asking questions to get to the truth. Like I would make, and I still do at times when I'm all the time. Like, I make these definitive statements about what it means and what I am and what I do and how it is. And then just simply inquiring into them to the truth of, oh, so you're X or you're Z. Are you always X or Z? Is there any other time that you've been A or B? Mm-hmm. And really breaking apart this idea that everything that we've done and everything that we've experienced is what we are going to do and experience. All we are, like, ever, and this is maybe overplayed for some people, all we are ever is right now in the next choice. And we always have the choice to do whatever it is, you know, speak more gently to our significant other.
Right.
Sit still instead of get up and get the Cheetos. we always have that, but there's this momentum of data, right? There's momentum of data of what we've done that kind of progresses us in the same patterns. So honestly, I think you're talking about literally the fundamental challenge of transforming is letting go of the data and simply choosing to be different, choosing a different identity. I am X, I am Y, I am Z, I am
so
capable,
I guess,
you know.
And I guess the idea of determinism is, you know, everything that has led you to the point where you want to choose to pursue a new path has been built up in your history. You know, you have had these people who know you for the past, you know, 10, 15, 29 years, and you want to be perceived in their eyes differently. And so you reach a point in your life where it's time for you to, and I'm sorry for using this word, rebrand yourself, to be looked at and respected in a different light, in a different manner. So I guess that's the idea behind determinism, is that all of this has led you to a point where it's no longer an option. It's, you know, something that you have to do. It's determined. I don't know. I mean, it's a very, it's difficult to accept, you know, that if we were to, you know, take this at face value, it's difficult to accept the idea of questioning free will, that, you know, we have unlimited choices and that, you know, we can do whatever the hell we want. But, you know, you have to consider the fact that there are so many things that are leading into our everyday lives and so many people that are influencing it, that there are only so few options as to what exactly can happen to us. And everything that's led up to that has put you at this head. It's okay, I have to do this or this. But yeah, I mean, I struggle with, you know, saying, oh, maybe free will isn't exactly all it's cracked up to be.
So are you talking about certain achievements? Are you talking about, like, can you put a specific idea around this, like a story around what you're talking about?
What do you mean by achievements?
It sounds like there's limitation in what we can choose, but I don't know if we're talking about choosing and getting the same thing. Like, what are you talking about when you talk about outcomes and choice and determinism? Are you picturing, you know, like choosing where we live? Are you picturing choosing?
Okay. Well, yeah. Let's run this thought experiment. Yeah. I mean, you recently, like last year, you moved, right? You moved. Mm-hmm. You bought a new house in Southern Ohio. Okay. So, you know, what if you had to just, you know, think back on the moments leading up to that, the moments, the choices, you know, what were some of the biggest influencers in you moving to that property? I mean, it wasn't just, you know, one day you woke up and said, hey, wife, let's move. That's as far as I understand it. I mean, what were some of the things that this you decided, okay, this is something that I need to do in my life?
It's going to be a funny story, maybe. So for, you know, 6 to 8 months, I don't know, maybe even a year, we were feeling the tension of not being close to family. And, you know, when you have two young kids, or at least when we have two young kids, it is very helpful to have hands, you know, within range that you can just, hey, can you help out this week? Can you help out next week? And not have to drive a long way. Now, with that being said, we were really happy where we were. And so for 8 months or so, in my mind, I kept going back and forth, like, move, don't move, move, don't move, move, don't move. And so when I get to that place where I can't make a decision, I throw it up in the air and see where it lands. So I was driving to work one day and I was in my head just like so frustrated not being able to pick. And so I literally said, I have no idea what to do and I'm not deciding. Like, if I'm supposed to move, then like God or you know, universe or source, whatever, like, you're going to have to show me, because I can't pick. I don't know what to do. I have no idea. I literally threw it up in the air in my car, said this probably out loud. And the next day, the guy who helped us find the house texted me. Actually, it was the next day or within 3 days. It was, I think it was like the next day. Part of me wants to even say it was the same day. But the guy who sold us the house, who helped us find the house, the realtor, he had... his daughter had started, had gotten her real estate license. And so he messaged us and said, hey, you know, it's been a while. I just wanted to reach out. My daughter started, you know, selling houses and just wanted to see if you'd ever thought about selling your house right now. And I thought, well, yeah, I've actually thought about it quite a bit. Maybe we could have a conversation. And so we had a conversation and I just followed the flow. You know, if you've ever read The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer, this is what I was doing. I was throwing it up and surrendering to what came to me. And so we signed a paper saying she could sell our house. And now we paid, I'll just say the number. I don't care about the numbers. I don't know if it's like faux pas or not, but like we paid $140,000 for the house. And It was a year and a half later after we bought it. And she came in saying that she wanted to sell it for $165,000. And I was like, you're crazy, lady. Like, so like the universe showed me that we're supposed to sell it because it sent this realtor. Right. And then it's like telling me, oh, you're not going to sell it because she's charging way overpriced for it. And I'm like, hey, cool. Put it on the market for $165,000. If we're supposed to move, somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
And the open house was 2 days later, and the three people showed up, and one of them put an offer in overpriced, and
nice.
And we sold our house for like a profit of 20-some thousand. And you know, and literally a week prior, I said, I have no idea. Like, just show me what I'm supposed to do. And so I don't know what side of, and so we moved and then we came closer to family. I don't know what side of the free will determinism or what that lands on, but that's exactly what happened.
Let me, I do want to try and break that down as best I can, but I found an excerpt in this book that I kind of want to read here.
Cool.
And then we can elaborate
on
that.
Go for it.
All right. Let me see where this starts. Let me get in my position here. For the present, let us see what is really involved in the fact of choice. Determinism, we are advised, must deny the reality of choice because choice assumes alternatives, and there can be no genuine alternatives if events are determined. Let us see. If I am watching a stone rolling down a hillside, and am in doubt as to whether it will pass to the right or to the left of a given point, I shall not recognize any resonant capacity in the stone for choosing one path rather than the other. The absence of consciousness in the stone precludes such an assumption. But suppose we substitute for that stone a barefooted human being and assume that one path is smooth while the other is liberally sprinkled with sharp pointed stones. there would then be an obvious reason for the selection of one path, and no one would hesitate to say that there was an illustration of the exercise of choice. Choice, then, is a phenomenon of consciousness, and it implies a recognition of alternatives. But a recognition of alternatives does not by any means imply that either of the two are equally eligible. It is merely a consciousness of the fact that they exist, and that either might be selected were circumstances favorable to its selection. Without laboring the point, we may safely say that all that is given in the fact of choice is the consciousness of a choice. There is nothing in it that tells us of the conditions of the selection, or whether it is possible or was possible for the agent to have chosen differently or not. So I think you can see, like, this is very old language. It's he very deliberate with the way he writes things, but the idea, that's a very poignant example he made, one that I tried to make earlier, is that, you know, you may have choices, but one tends to lead us down the path which we were predetermined to select, which, you know, I feel like you made the choice because you didn't want to make a choice. You made the choice to let that man's daughter list your house. That was a choice within itself. And so, I don't know, man. I don't want to claim like this. A lot of this is over my head. It's a mind fuck, and I'm trying to process it at the same time. But I mean, it's very interesting to see all of the different people and decisions and, you know, things that led into that decision to move, for you to sell your house and move.
I have no idea. To me, it was quite supernatural, as quite a few experiences in my life have been. You know, there was definitely choosing and some of it felt determined too. I have no idea, man.
I don't either. Yeah.
I really don't. You know, but when I think of who I've been at a level of, so not like necessarily choices in terms of do I move, do I not, do I wear blue, do I wear red. But in terms of what I'm expressing into the world. So what texture of humanity that I'm bringing could be, you know, love. It could be tension. It could be resentment. It could be compassion. Could be strength, could be weakness, like the texture. That's where my mind goes when we talk about this. We have data of textures that we've brought into the world. And if this experiment of this guy who wrote this book, what was his name?
Chapman Cohen.
Chapman Cohen. So he talks about this, you know, if you ran the data of somebody's life, you could see where it would go. If he ran this data on me at 22, when I was thrashing, like with a curtain rod, my room, my college apartment room, like I was just lost in anger and rage and literally thrashing my room apart and just like breaking everything in it. If he would have ran the data then he would probably have some data about where I would be right now in my life that had to do with darkness and anger and maybe like evil deeds. I don't know. But
right. That raises an interesting question. You know, I think in, you know, if we were to even consider this idea of things being predetermined, you know, it may be permissible to say, oh, you know, in 2 days I'm going to end up here because, you know, I clicked this box on the internet. I don't know. But to extrapolate out, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, that seems that seems insane. I mean, I don't think that, you know, that notion is just, it's just impossible to consider. It's such a huge difference to see everything, every single variable in your life, you know, both internally and externally would have to be calculated to have any sort of, and I know I'm saying this like this is, you know, some new social network that tells you everything that's going to happen in your life. And I don't mean it that way. I just, it blows my mind to think about somebody or something or just be able to say, okay, you're going to be here in 20, 25 years. That seems impossible to me.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell. In the end, and I don't necessarily think that you're defending either side. We're just discussing what the ideas that come right up around it. In the end, I've noticed in the past 5 years that the belief that I can change in an instant and that I can choose new, completely new trajectory in my essence, in my humanity, in my being, that has served me deeply. It served me when I'm getting lost in an idea of how things should be and I'm angry about it, being able to shift immediately in a moment's notice to not, to actually embracing and loving that moment, or, you know, making habitual choices around health or something, you know, knowing in a moment that I can choose differently. That has served me, and I don't, and maybe it's predetermined that I would always be the person that would choose that. But, right, you know, that's what I believe at this point is it's that
I really want to hit on that.
Cause has to be let go.
That's so important because I remember four years ago, I don't remember how long ago exactly, but I would feel so stuck in, you know, the ruts or the lane that I had chosen for myself. And, you know, there were all these things that I wanted to do, but I felt like I couldn't escape, you know, the trajectory that I was on, you know, just being stuck in a 9-to-5 job or, you know, being incapable of pursuing the ventures that I had always dreamt of pursuing. And the point that you just made is it's an instant. It's an instantaneous thing. Is you decide to make a difference in your life. I mean, your life probably isn't going to change overnight, but the perception, the mindset that you have can, and that's so important. And I think I didn't realize it at the time, but I think a lot of people get stuck in this feeling, in this place that they cannot make any significant change in their life. And so they go on like zombies, you know, just working, toiling away in misery, and whether that's, you know, a relationship that they're in or a job that they hate, without even accepting the potential of, you know, finding a new pursuit in life or a new situation.
Yeah, I mean, it nails it. What we believe ourselves to be is either the detriment that we continue to, you know, live into, or is the thing that sets us free from what we had been, what we had done, the choices we had made in the past, like the belief, the identity. It all comes, for me, it all comes back to the identity. I'm not worthy of somebody better, so this is just where I have to stay. I'm not worthy of a better life. I'm always the one to get this far and then screw it up. It just always happens to me. Like, these are all statements of identity that continue to infringe on the moments where we could actually be something totally different. We don't have to have compiled data of how we've been to make the choice to do better or do different or be more true to what we deserve, you know, in the end.
I agree. And to kind of pull back here a little bit, and as we get closer to parting ways, you know, one thing that I do, to me, in regard to change, this time of year is always very exciting to me. You know, you feel yourself on the horizon of something new with spring and with daylight savings time coming about, and that feeling is just, it's so empowering. I don't know if there's any point in mentioning it other than, you know, Ernie, what are your, you know, hopes and ambitions moving forward? Does this time of year you know, pull at you, at the insides of you at all? Like, do you see yourself, you know, stepping foot into new ventures with the onset of spring?
I love the changing of seasons. I used to hate it, living in Ohio and winter and all that stuff. But yeah. I love yeah. the juxtaposition. And so I'm always excited by change. Yeah, for sure. Now that you mention it, I realized the onset of spring hasn't necessarily brought about new inspiration. But I am excited to be outside more.
Me too, man. Me too. And I know... We talked about this a fair amount over the last few months. You know, we've really put our nose to the grindstone and certain elements of the things that we're working on to build that foundation to get to where we want to be, you know, when it comes to this time of year. And I'm really excited for the podcast and for everything else that we've got going on. So thank you for, you know, being a part of that and, you know, inspiring me to want to do more with my life.
Yeah, it's nice to have these relationships, man, where we're constantly having conversations like this. And
for sure.
And it definitely and, keeps moving us forward.
And, you know, I know we've mentioned it probably at least 22 times by this point in time, but I know you love the quote, and I love it too. You know, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And that's really starting to strike truer and truer with me, you know, especially as we interview these awesome people, as we build our real life network out. You know, you and I were just at a mastermind event a couple weeks ago, and just being around those extremely intelligent people who all have different takes on one similar topic. It's very exciting to be in a room with that much mental power, and it makes me want to be a better person. It makes me want to do more.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, you mentioned that quote yesterday or something, and we were considering what we would talk about in this episode. So I was thinking, you know, the five people you spend the most time with, does that still resonate? And something else kind of struck, and I want to amend it a little bit for myself. Just as an idea, that we are the average of the conversations that we have or the questions that we pose.
Yeah, that's a good point. And in this world that is ever connected, I think you're absolutely right with that.
You know, because I think, you know, just because some of my older friends, we get together and we just talk about jokes and we have fun and we're just like light. And the point, I guess, is to say that there's always this quality of power and transformation and growth in every person. How are we tapping into it when we're relating, or how are we tapping into it when we're alone? So it's like, I am the average of the questions I ask myself, or I am the average of the conversations, the types of conversations that I have.
Yeah.
Just another interesting way to look at it that kind of came up as I was considering that again.
Certainly. And that goes both ways. I mean, if you're continuously having deepening conversation and mind expanding conversation, that's going to be extremely beneficial for you. But at the same time, if you are constantly complaining, or if you're constantly around somebody who's complaining, that is going to put you in such a bad spot. I have withdrawn some of my critique with social media over the past, you know, several months as we've done this, but there you can still get into a very toxic place, you know, on those platforms if you are connected with people who are just constantly negative and bitching and moaning about politics, about, you know, life and how bad it is all the time. That is going to leach out and affect you. It's just, you are absolutely right, Ernie. The conversations you have have a huge influence on you. So have good conversations. Have meaningful and deepening conversations. Don't subject yourself to things that are just going to make you miserable.
Yeah, until you can hold yourself in it. Because sometimes you just, you know, you want to support people and some of them like to complain, but hopefully at some point you can hold a barrier around yourself that stuff
right.
doesn't make you miserable and serve your purpose, whatever way that is, man. Yeah. It is what you make of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, Ernie, I appreciate it. There's some things that we can certainly talk about here. First of all, we put out our first, you know, when we first built this podcast, we were talking about having three different parts. Some of the more astute people may have realized that we recently went back and changed our episode names, so they're no longer Conversation 3, Meditation 4, Interview 2, that sort of thing. We just felt like it was a more natural blend to have them titled in a way that is more appealing to people, so you can still see what type of episode it is in the show notes, but they're a little bit more organic now. That all being said, we are adding a fourth element. We have added a fourth element where Ernie and I will take time on our own to have quick little talks. And Ernie put out his first talk last week, which, Ernie, I very much appreciate. I think it's very beneficial for anybody who's grieving over any sort of loss.
It's not necessarily strictly for loss. I use it for any. I put out a clip that I sent to somebody about grieving or feeling sadness, but it's been most beneficial for me in the little tiny sadnesses that pop up in my life, like the sadness that comes up when I feel like I'm being left out, or when I feel like I'm not worthy, or when I feel like nobody cares about me. These little things that happen just from subtle cues from our environment that we make to believe that they mean something about us, and then we get triggered, you know, at some point inside of us, at a pain point or a pressure, and a lot of times we don't process those things or take care of them, and we neglect to notice, oh, you know, even though it was just they went to Chipotle together and didn't invite me, I'm actually internally really hurt in this moment, and although it's not a big deal, it might be useful to feel that or look into it. And so I have a process for that in order to not repeat the same cycles of leaking that pain or sadness or frustrations into my life and my decisions.
And I think that's something that people experience all the time. I mean, it's not something that we always, you know, express verbally, but I mean, that... I know that I've felt that subtle hurt when not included in certain element or certain events, or even those. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's different for everyone.
It is, and it was a very good episode. So I highly recommend you go back and check that out. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Also, on we just launched or just announced rather, we are holding another live meditation class. So really excited, expanding a little bit over last time. For those of you who were not able to make it last time, we did have a live recording. This time it's going to be at a yoga studio in Grandview Heights, which is just west of downtown Columbus, Ohio, on April 16th at 6:30 p.m. Ernie, your master yoga, or not yoga, meditation instructor, will be leading the class again. Ernie, that's I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too. I want to implement a couple different practices that people who haven't meditated or have just started diving into the stillness and connecting with your breath and returning to your breath style meditation maybe haven't experienced. So I'm excited to take some of the things that I've learned around breath work and implement that for people as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where you go with this. The link to register for that is in the show notes. It is $5, which helps go toward covering our costs for that event. Again, that link is in the show notes. Follow us on Instagram at One Mosaic Life. And then, of course, please, even if you don't want to follow us on Instagram, it helps out tremendously if you can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people discover us. It helps determine whether or not Apple thinks we're worthy. So that'd be great if you could do that.
Almighty Apple.
Almighty Apple. Yeah, Ernie, you got anything else?
No.
I appreciate you considering that. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. We are always looking for people to bring on to the podcast. If you've got a great story about overcoming some adversity to get to where you are, or if you help others do that, please reach out to us at the email address is onemosaiclife@gmail.com. We are always looking to talk with and partner with phenomenal people, both here locally in Columbus, Ohio, and abroad, across the country, and across the world. International, even universal.
Universal.
Universal, yeah. Awesome. Well, Ernie, it's always a pleasure, my friend. I look forward to the next time we get to do this.
Yeah. Take care. Take care to you. And I don't know. Close the show.
Be well.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, friends, thank you again so much for spending the last hour with us. We truly appreciate it. We don't take anybody for granted, and you've shown it as a podcaster, you know, whether you're large or small, you know, 2 downloads or 2 million, it's important to know that your listeners make you, and they help shape who you become. This is your show. This is we're doing this for you as much as we are for ourselves, and we want to see you grow as we grow too. So please let us know what you thought. Let us know how you feel about the podcast. Let us know what you're getting out of it. You can do so on Instagram at onemosaiclife. You can email us onemosaiclife@gmail.com. And of course, you can let us know how you feel through the official review process, whether you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, any of the above, or any other platform available. You know, please rate us how you feel appropriate. 5 stars would be great, but if you feel like we can do better, just let us know. That goes a long, long way, especially as we choose the people whom we interview, and you know, as we shape our conversations and our meditations and our talks and all of the above. So if you are in the Columbus or Central Ohio area and you are interested in our live meditation classes, check the show notes. There's a link in the description for our live meditation class on April 16th. That's April 16th. That's a Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in Grandview Heights, which is just west of downtown Columbus, for those who are curious. We're going to spend an hour in sitting meditation with Ernie as the instructor, and I'm really, really stoked about it. So again, it's April 16th. Check the show notes for the link and get signed up. That would be just swell. Again, this episode of the podcast was brought to you by 2237 Designs, your personal web concierge, making your online presence simple. I'll take care of you. Shoot me a text, 380-201-3300. Let me know you heard about us on the pod. And of course, I will hook you up with a free year of hosting. Again, thank you so much for listening. And we will be back next Sunday. And we look forward to seeing you. Have a great first week of March. Enjoy your daylight savings time when it kicks in next weekend. And we'll be back soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.